Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
So, I'm going to be honest with you. I shared a message with the young adults a few weeks ago, and it was a great night. All our Inheritance young adults, we love you guys so much. We have our Zoom coming up next week. We're going to do a Zoom call. I'm so excited. Pastor Tanner and Emily are going to be overseeing that for us this month. And it was just a strong night. It was great. And Pastor David asked me this week, hey, John, would you speak? Yes, sir. Whenever your pastor asks you to speak or asks you to take out the garbage, it's yes, sir, right? Because it's an honor to serve. And so I knew I would share on this message today, and my goal is to share on this message today about walking in grace. Walking in grace. But before we do that, I was challenged by the Holy Spirit to spend a few moments in prayer. And I want to pray over some specific things. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to put yourself in a position of waiting. I know some of you have got your Bible and your notes out, because I'm going to drop some bombs on y'all today. No, I'm just kidding. But you may have your phone out. You may have something out. I'm going to ask you to put it to the side for 1 second. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And I just want us to put ourselves in a posture of waiting. Just want to wait for a few moments just to see what Holy Spirit may say, not just through me, but to you. Let's just wait and see what he says, and then we're going to pray and then jump into the message. Just receive, Holy Spirit. We just receive. No striving, just receiving. We receive. Let's just stay in this atmosphere. I want to pray over two things. That's what the Holy Spirit asked me to pray over. If you are expecting a child, if you're pregnant, I know we have at least four couples in our serve team, but maybe you're not on our serve team and today you're pregnant. If you're pregnant or your wife's pregnant, would you please stand? I want to pray over you today. Just feel led to pray over you. I know Kevin and Julia. Holy Spirit, I'm obedient. I just thank you for life. We thank you for these children. These beautiful, beautiful children that you're birthing here at Dwell. And I thank you, Lord, that these children are full of promise. They're full of promise. There's so much purpose on these children and the timing that they are coming into this earth. And we just declare protection, provision, and presence. That the child, the children, the parents, they'll have every need will be provided. Supernatural provision. That these children will be carriers of your presence. Even at a young age, I just declare they will bring revival. And I just speak life upon all of these parents, these young parents, and these children. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And even for the couples that aren't represented in this room, some of y'all haven't made your announcements, so I'm not going to say anything, but I just speak the same thing upon you. I just see provision and presence, protection upon your children. Good reports, great reports, doctor bills paid for. I just see these babies just coming out carrying swords. Warriors, little warriors. The earth's babies carry pacifiers, but the church's babies carry swords. In Jesus' name, amen. The second group of people I want to pray for, and Tanner, this is not because of what you shared, but the Holy Spirit challenged me on this last night. If you are struggling with your sleep, if you're struggling with your sleep, will you stand to your feet so I can pray for you? Yeah. I want you to know I'm standing with you. I believe the Lord is stirring something in our hearts. But we need rest. So can we just pray? Just if somebody's near you, just point your hand. If they're in your household, then you're allowed to lay hands on them. But we just declare rest. You lead us beside still waters. You restore our souls. And we just speak to any interference right now. Anything in the mind has to come into alignment now in the name of Jesus. Any fear, any anxiety, any depression, physical ailments that may cause restless leg or pain in their shoulder or headaches, things that are causing them to lose sleep. We command those things to get out of the way now in the name of Jesus. And we declare clarity and rest. That even though there may be nights when there's only 2 hours of sleep, you will make it feel like it's 10 hours of sleep. And you'll even create moments that they will be able to sleep those 10 hours. And so we just thank you that you are the comforter, Holy Spirit. You are the comforter. You are the one who brings peace. I believe you're the one that when we pray and petition, that you are the one, Holy Spirit, who guards our heart and our mind. So we will not be anxious. And we declare rest, and we will hear miracles, signs, and wonders. People that are standing in this room right now will show up Wednesday refreshed because they got the best sleep they ever got in their life. It's not about a Serta. It's not about a purple. It's about Jesus Christ. He is the comforter. We find rest in you. In Jesus' name. And let's just do this. Before we just move on, let's just take a moment just to receive. I think he's still pouring. He wants to give you every drop. Just receive right now. Just receive. Just a few more moments. And maybe we didn't call you out, but if you need anything right now from the Holy Spirit, from his presence, just lift your hands and receive it. Receive his joy. Maybe you need to get out your pen and start writing. Just release the revelation he's given you right now. He's restoring in this moment. He's restoring. He's building, rebuilding. Yeah, just... Are we on track? Anybody else? Are you feeling this? Are we good? I don't want to just jump into the next thing. I just feel like we need to take a moment to receive. So just enjoy it. No pressure. Okay, Holy Spirit, one more thing. While you're receiving, if your household is here, if your family's here, y'all are allowed to touch, okay? I just want you to surround one another, whether seated or standing or on your knees. I just want you to release revival and awakening. Revival and awakening. Husbands, release it upon your wives. Wives, upon your children. Children, release it upon your parents. Parents, release it upon your children. Awakening. Whatever areas of our heart that are asleep, let them come awake now in Jesus' name. Maybe areas of our mind that are dead, we declare revival. Let them be revived in Jesus' name. I declare that upon my wife, upon my children, upon Anna, Tanner and Emily, Leon, revival and awakening. Upon Bryce, revival and awakening. Revival and awakening. Revive us, Lord. Awakening. Yeah. Open our eyes to see something crazy today. Open our ears to hear something insane today. Let our feelers feel something we've never felt before today. Let our strength be so strong. We want to burn for you. We want to burn for you. We want to burn for you. Start here. Start here. Start here. Start here. Awakening and revival. Man, there's a sweet breeze of the Holy Spirit just blowing through this room. Just a sweet breeze. Sweet breeze of His Holy Spirit. Yeah. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Make that your prayer. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me. One more time. Make that your prayer. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Whatever that looks like. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Be with us as we step into this service a little more. Let my words be your words and open their ears to hear what you would have them to hear today. And we will leave here burning for you. full of your mercy and grace. We love you, Holy Spirit, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So funny. It's like you get in church and you just want to immediately go, no, give them a clap offering of praise, you know. And those moments require that, but we don't have to do that right now. Like, it's so good. But it's just in my mind, it's so easy to want to go there. No, clap, you know, because the silence is awkward. You know, it's really what we're saying. Yeah, so just love you guys so much and just honor you, Pastor David and Pastor Nicole. I know she's watching today. We love you guys so much. Can we just honor them and love on them? We thank you for your leadership. Thank you for saying yes. So we're gearing up for revival this week. It's going to be incredible. And, you know, as we talk about revival, you know, how do you define revival? And I believe it's this simple. Revival is simply to burn for the things that God burns for. Revival is simple. It's to burn for the things that God burns for. We, in our church, we're not just having three nights of revival, but I believe we're stewards of revival. And these three nights we're stepping in. How many grew up going to revival services? I traveled the country with my dad doing revival services everywhere. It's where you would have a week of services or 2 weeks or two nights or one night. And yes, we're going to do that, but it's not that we're stepping into revival, but it is an extension of what God is already doing here at Dwell. Amen? And how do we know that we are stewarding revival? You have to look at the indicators. How many have heard of Robbie Dawkins? You might know who Robbie Dawkins is. Jocelyn and I did a conference with him several years ago, and when we went out to lunch, he was sharing so many stories about the underground church in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan, and how they're not just going in and teaching them the gospel, but they're teaching them healing, the miracles and signs and wonders. And it's so cool. What's neat, this is a little side story. It just shows you the power of Jesus, that when they get saved and they get baptized, they can't shout. Because if they shout, someone may hear, and they'll call the police on them, and they'll go to jail, and some are even tortured and murdered. But they will do baptisms, and when they come out of the water, everybody goes, isn't that the coolest thing ever? I thought that was neat. And I was like, Robbie, what are indicators of revival to you? Like when we say, hey, we're in revival, what does that mean? Do we just have good church? And we shouted and we did a couple key changes and we were on our face? Or was there actual change? And he's like, you have to look at the indicators. Yes, inside the church, it's hunger. Hunger, an expression of worship. But then even beyond that, another indicator is our lives, our interest, our words, our actions. Are those areas of our life burning for the things that God's heart burns for? Larry Vizay, if you don't know him and Daisha, they're an incredible couple. And God, over the last 2 years of them being a part of Dwell, we've just watched God supernaturally restore, to be honest, a really broken family. And they recently shared how Larry fathers three of Daisha's daughters. And two of those daughters are from the same dad who has nothing to do with the daughters. But Larry, led by the Spirit, invites their father over to encourage him, to pray for him, and to build relationship. That's revival. right? And when we start to see this thing overflow out of this place into the streets, and we begin to see people getting saved at Target and Walmart and Kroger, and I don't know where you go, but wherever you go, even at your workplace, when we begin to see miracles, signs, and wonders, Michael and Kimberly, when we begin to see healthy marriages, right? The church I was at in Chattanooga, Joss and I were at, right before we came, they were in a 90-day revival. 90 nights nonstop. And the glory of God fell, but they were exhausted. Marriages were hurting. Children were neglected. Now, don't get me wrong. I know working in a church, we can get busy. But the saying is that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And what is revival if you have good services and your marriages are broken and your children are neglected? Now, the Lord checked their hearts and our hearts, and we learned how to steward it because we knew it was more than a service. I believe revival is rest. I believe revival is community. Seeing couples doing life together and encouraging one another. We have to look at, is revival happening? Then we have to look at the indicators. And I will gladly tell you that revival is happening at Dwell. And there is the more of God. We haven't even scratched the surface of God's glory. There's more that has been hidden than that has been revealed. And we now have an opportunity to step in to one of the greatest seasons of our lives, not just as the Brockman family, but as the Dwell family and as the church. Is anybody excited about revival and awakening? Come on, get woke. The truest indicator of revival is hunger. Do you hunger for his presence? Yes, I love that you want to come to church, but are you having church at home? Are you hungry for his word? Are you pulling out your Bible or your Bible app? And it's not about quantity, but it's about quality. And just charging yourself with the word of God and discipling yourself and discipling others. Do you purposely sit down with someone to talk about the word, to talk about miracles, to talk about growing in his presence? Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. When that hunger begins to grow and we start seeing Bible studies break out in our homes and in our coffee shops. I was asked this week by one of the young ladies in our church who was like, hey, I was wanting to have a get together with some of the young ladies in our church. And I'm like, yeah, do it. Like, I appreciate you asking for it. But like, yes, that's revival. That's what we want. So hunger is probably the greatest indicator of revival. And I want to ask you today, are you hungry? Are you hungry for his presence? Are you hungry for change? Are you willing to let it all go? I've kind of let it all go during COVID-19. I need to pick some things back up. Amen. I got the COVID-19 right here. It's 19 pounds over the last 4 months. Can I get an amen, anybody? If I'm gonna be home, let's eat. Come on now. So, are you hungry? Not just you. Yeah. I don't think so. We had the greatest conversation this past week about men's Spanx. We won't go there, but I just want you to know that was part of our conversation. Here comes Pastor David. Sponsored by Spanx, Dwell Church. That should be under the revival. Dwell Revival, sponsored by Spanx. Hey, holds it all together. Can I get an amen? Just like Jesus. You know, it's hard because Jesus is a carb. He's the bread of life, right? So He didn't say he was the veggie or the fruit. He does fruit. There's fruit of the spirit, but he's the bread. So he's a carb. It's his fault. All right. So today, I want to talk to you about grace. Walking in grace. A revival of grace. Hopefully I won't talk long, but just a revival of grace. How many have heard of the word karma? Anybody heard of the word karma? Carmen, the champion. Or witch's invitation, whenever you listened. So karma, if you do good things happen. If you do bad things happen. I have this video of some of my favorite karma moments. This is a guilty pleasure for me, is watching these kind of videos. Can we turn on the sound and watch this? Y'all seen that one? He tried to get him. Now watch this guy right here. I got you. Nope. Karma. Nope. Didn't work. That didn't work either. Okay, that white car is actually a cop car, but this car coming alongside doesn't know it. Woo, 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 woo. Karma. I've done that before, I think. I think that's happened to me. Oh, this one's good right here. Nope. Whoops. Oh, this guy is being sneaky. Just kidding. Oh, karma gets you every time. Ooh, oh no. Oh no. And boom. Oh, that'll leave a bruise. Oh, that's the best one. Have you ever tried to like be sneaky on someone and you got exactly what you deserved? Well, mercy and grace are the complete opposite of karma. Mercy withholds from us what we deserve, and grace gives us what we don't deserve. Pretty much, mercy is what you don't deserve, and grace is what you really don't deserve, right? They go hand in hand. It's like this quarter. Now, these are getting rare, so hold on to your coins. coins are a shortage now in the earth, so it's kind of wild. But it's like a two-sided coin, the coin of love. One side is mercy, one side is grace, and they go hand in hand. Here's kind of how it works. John Miles, why don't you come up here, buddy? Y'all give it up for John Miles. Come on up here. He got a 23 in his hair. He likes Michael Jordan. All right, so here's how mercy and grace works, John Miles, okay? So you borrowed 2 quarters, 50 cents from your mom, all right? Is that all right? You borrowed this from her, and you spent it. But you still owe her 50 cents. But you don't have the money. But because I love you, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you 50 cents to clear your debt. Go give it to mommy. And then come back up here. Give it to mommy. He thinks this is the coolest thing. Now come up here. Now you see, that is mercy. But then here's what grace does. And not because you did anything, but because I love you, I'm going to give you another quarter and 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 another quarter. Oh, that one dropped. And another quarter and another quarter and another quarter and another quarter. And that's it. Y'all give it up for John Miles. That's all yours, buddy. Now, I know we went back to children's church right there, but you see the example of where mercy takes you and then where grace can take you. Mercy withholds the knife from the heart of Isaac, but grace provides a ram in the bush. Mercy runs to forgive the prodigal, but grace throws a party with a robe and a ring and a fatted calf. Mercy bandages the wounds of the man who was beaten by the robbers, but grace covers the cost of his full recovery. Mercy hears the cry of the sinner on the cross, but grace promises paradise. Mercy pays the penalty for our sin on the cross. Grace provides the righteousness of God in its place. Mercy converts Paul on the road to Damascus, but grace calls him to be a great apostle. Mercy keeps us out of hell, and grace takes us to heaven. Can we celebrate mercy and grace today? Come on, anybody thankful? Come on and praise him. Come on and praise his name. I mean, if you just think about what God has done and brought you from and given you when you didn't do anything to deserve it, but he gives it anyway. Anybody thankful for mercy and grace? Grace is only possible through Jesus Christ. The core of everything we do, the core of everything, not just at Dwell, but in the church, in the church of God, in the earth, is Jesus Christ. It all comes down to this. For God so loved the world. Because I love you, here's a quarter. For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his only son, his one and only son. Some of you have a hard enough time giving up your last piece of gum. You will lie real quick. You get that one piece of gum. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That one piece of gum. And then somebody just asks you at that moment, I ain't got no gum. It's one thing if you have many sons, but when you have one, the sacrifice is greater. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes, that's all you got to do, is believe in him. There's the mercy. You shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Mercy and grace in one scripture, John 3:16. Romans 10:9-13. This is salvation. Here's the plan. Do we know it? If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone, I love this, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Go tell somebody that today. Tell your waiter today. Tell your waitress today. Give them a quarter, a quarter, a quarter. Give them a fat tip and say, hey, by the way, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you know Jesus? Because I do, and I'm so in love with him, and I want you to be in love with him too. You don't got to do anything to earn it because there's mercy and grace. Will you pray this prayer with me? Open your hand. Open your hand. Just put it out here. And take your pen, your finger. And write on your hand how many people you prayed with this week. Don't look at your neighbor's hand. Just write down. Okay, erase that one. Okay. How many people did you lead to Christ this week? Write it on your hand. Okay, erase that. Let's give you a better shot. This month, okay, the last 30 days, how many people have you led in the sinner's prayer or prayed with? Write that number on your hand. Thank you, Lord, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but conviction and challenge that if we are so in love with Jesus, why aren't we telling anyone? If we want to shout about mercy and grace, why wouldn't we want to share that with others? Walking in grace, knowing what you have access to, but also knowing what you have the ability to give others. I think that's a good indicator of revival. Because Jesus took on what we deserved, we get access to what he deserves. Because Jesus took on sin and death, we get salvation, resurrection, and everlasting life. Grace is simply this: God's riches at Christ's expense. The reason we have mercy and we have grace is because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus gave his life. He had to become that sacrifice. The word grace can also be called the unmerited favor. Favor! Y'all know when you get that parking spot right up front, that's not where pregnant people park. And you pull in, and how many ever been like, favor? The favor of God can be described as divine kindness, or an act of true compassion on the part of God himself toward needy and undeserving human recipients. How many would say, I'm needy and undeserving? We all are. We're born into a world of sin. You know, it sounds funny. I feel like that's something I would say to my wife. I'm needy and undeserving, all right? I am needy. But often in Scripture, this act of God, this act of grace or unmerited favor toward unworthy men or women, we call it grace or favor. In simple terms, it's defined as this: God's favor or grace is God giving us the ability to do something which is humanly impossible. How many can look back at your life and say, I only got through that season because of mercy and grace? I look at my wife. Mercy was, I got out of those relationships. Grace was, I found Jocelyn. Any other husbands married up, right? Think back on the relationships, on the jobs, the seasons. I know just not even 2 years ago when we moved here, and I look back at that season of selling our house and living on faith and just, you know, coming through a death of a child. And I look back, because I'm in a new season of grace, I look back and like, how in the world did we do that? If you asked me to do that right now, I wouldn't do it, because God's not giving you grace to do that. He gave you grace to do it then, right? Winners, you're in the same boat. Like, how in the world? Come on, the Yanezes, y'all. A lot of y'all sold your houses, just moved here on faith. Pastor David Cole just started a church on faith. And we look back and we're like, what? How? Because it gives us the power, the strength to do what is humanly impossible. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. How? Jocelyn, you are my grace. And my kids are even a greater extension of that. Think about this corona season. Some of you may have gone through some craziness, but I know for us, we bought a house during COVID-19. What? And we were going to have to put down $800 or $1,000. We got $1,800 back. And just this past two weeks, somebody's blessed us with $500 each week out of nowhere. Y'all, we're going to eat good today. COVID-19. It's only by his grace. We're going to look back at this season and be like, how did we get through it? Maybe you're not getting checks in the mail. Maybe you're not buying houses, but you're still alive. You still have breath. You still have purpose. Walk in his mercy and his grace. Because here's what grace does. Grace, not only does grace give us what we don't deserve, but grace gives us access. You have access. Before Jesus died on the cross, and when he gave up the ghost, and the veil was torn from the top down, there was a whole temple, Solomon's temple, and there was a veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the priest. And the priest, this is how they would do it. One priest would go in once a year to cover the atonement of everybody's sins and would sacrifice an animal once a year. And if that priest had sin in his heart or he wasn't right, they tied a rope to his leg that had a bell. Because if you weren't right and you went in there, you would be struck dead. And the bell was there to let you know, I'm still alive. Ring, ring, ring. And the rope was there to pull you out because they weren't allowed in. But then Jesus comes through mercy and through grace and gives us access. Let me tell you about this veil. It is said to have been, I think, at least 30 feet wide and maybe 60 feet high. And it was the thickness of a man's fist. That's how thick it was. My fist is huge. I'm just kidding. And the way they would test the veil is, before they would put it in the temple, they would tie the veil to horses on one side, horses on the other, and say, yeah, yeah, and just let them run as hard and as fast as they can. And if the fabric didn't tear, then it was worthy, because it was showing you, this is the Holy of Holies. It's great access. But then we see in Matthew 27, 50-51, through mercy and grace, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. You want to know what mercy and grace does? It shakes the earth and splits the rocks, and it gives us access to the Holy of Holies. That's why you can have the worst week of your life coming here on a Sunday and come on and bless him. And you have access because of mercy and grace and what Christ did on the cross. Can I get an amen? Woo! Not only does it give us access, but grace gives us strength. Strong in the spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I think I've shared on the thorn, Paul and the thorn. How many have heard the story of Apostle Paul and the thorn? He was given great revelation, and to keep him humble, there was a tormenting spirit. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And this thorn, he struggled with it. And it says in the word there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he pleaded with God. Anybody going through anything or have gone through anything where you've pleaded with God, take this away. Heal my child. Heal my marriage. I need help. And what was God's answer to Paul? No. Anybody ever got a no from heaven? But he never leaves you empty-handed. He doesn't just give you a no. No, he says this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. He never leaves you empty-handed. He may not take that thorn from you, but you know what he's given you access to? Grace. His power is made perfect in your weakness. It gives you strength. Somebody say strength. Grace gives us access. Grace gives us strength. But then we see here in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, not only does it give us strength, it gives us all we need. He says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient. Are you okay with sufficient? It's not my terms, Lord. I don't understand this, but he says, it's okay to be weak. Your weakness makes you a perfect candidate for grace. Some of us need to start learning how to be weak and, like Paul, boast in your weakness so that Christ may rest on you. Stop whining and start boasting and see what may rest on you. So here's my challenge to you. Do you know what you have? We have this place in Atlanta called the Varsity. Anybody ever heard of the Varsity? It is one of the first fast food places in Atlanta. And whenever you go up to the counter, they go, what do you have? What do you have? What do you have? What do you have? You got to go there. It's actually the worst, but it's the best too. But do you know what you have access to? There is grace in your life, and walking humbly, knowing that God has rescued you over and over, I deserved death, but Jesus gave me life. Not just life eternally in heaven. Not only did he just rescue me from hell, but he gave me heaven. And we can bring heaven on earth. So you may not be where you want to be, but you're sure not where you used to be. Now understand this. Grace does not come in and give you the right to sin. We're hearing a lot of teachings about do what you want, when you want, how you want, because there's grace. But that's not what the Bible says in Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? The writer says in verse 2, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4, we are therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So let me go back to verse 1. What shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Verse 2, by no means. In the NIV there, it says, by no means. In the NLV, it says, of course not. In the BSB, it says, may it never be. In the BLB, it says, certainly not. In the KJV, it says, God forbid. And in the CSB, it says, absolutely not. Somebody say no. So do you know that mercy and grace is with you, and it's changing you, and it's challenging you, and it's driving you? Do you know that today? Then why can't we love others better? God gives you mercy and grace so that you can show others mercy and grace. And he doesn't do it so you'll show it to others. He gives it to you and you want to do it to others. Because grace is not conditional. God forgives you and you can forgive others. God helps you and you can help others. God's goal is not to forgive you to forgive others, but he forgives you, and a product of that is you forgive others. Grace is not conditional. I said that earlier. It's not conditional because he gave it to you when you didn't deserve it. Well, maybe grace is conditional. The condition is you don't deserve it. You have to be weak. But its sole purpose is that not that you get to give, but you get and you want to give. Can I get an amen? I love in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, here's the greatest commandment. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. These are in order. The first one is what? Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then verse 39, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I want to challenge you today because the reason I feel like I want to challenge you with grace is this is revival. If we can leave this room and treat people who don't look like us, who don't act like us, who don't believe like us, the love of Christ, then we are walking in revival. Can I get an amen? If we can leave this room and see, the Bible says, when I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was in prison, did you visit me? When we see the broken and we see the orphans and we see the hurting and those that are longing and we don't help meet their need, when we have all this access to grace and mercy, God, I love you so much, but I don't want to tell anybody. I love you so much, but I don't want to show anybody. When we can tear down that wall, then revival starts happening. Love can change everything. And if you get the first commandment right, then the second one will be just fine. If you can love God with all your heart, then it will be absolutely easy to love your neighbor as yourself. To me, the second commandment there is an indicator of the first one. One is the thermostat. The other one is the thermometer. If you ain't loving people right, then you need to go back to the thermostat, the first commandment, and love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. If you're doing that right, then you're going to love people just fine. Can I get an amen? If you get this one, love God. Just love him. What does that mean? Just love him. Fall in love with him every day. Get in his presence. Get in his word. Sometimes you're going to feel it. Sometimes you're not. But that's mercy and grace. It's going to help you through it. And you just love him. Fall in love with him. Find the grace that's new every morning. The mercy that's new every morning. And then take what you have with him. Not because I get to give, but why wouldn't I not want to show somebody the goodness of God? Why am I so afraid to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? He did it for me, so why wouldn't I want to do it for somebody else? We want to see miracles happen in this room. Yes, we want to see salvation happen in this room. Yes, but when it starts breaking out of the four walls because there is a remnant, a group of people who is so in love with Jesus that we got to tell the whole world, we're just skipping down Walmart. Who am I going to get today? Who's going to get some today? Are you with me? If I could have the musicians come up. And that's just a challenge to us today. Fall in love with Jesus, and everything else will line up. Love God with all your heart because of his mercy and compassion for you. It's not that he gives it to us so we can just give it to someone like we have to, but we want to. Why wouldn't we want to tell our waiters and waitresses and the people we work with this week? Well, you don't know who I work with. Mercy and grace. You don't know who I'm married to. Mercy and grace. I'm afraid. Mercy and grace. We said it earlier. Grace gives you the strength, what is humanly impossible to do. God, thank you for your grace. I'm just going to walk up. And if I'm a fool, I'll be a fool for you any day. It's like David when he danced before the Lord when the ark was returned. And his wife was like, you look like an idiot. And he's like, now I'm going to dance even more undignified, right? So let's lean into this today. I want to pray for you. And then we're going to release you today. Pastor David's going to come up. Holy Spirit, we thank you for revival. We thank you for the areas of our hearts that you are awakening. For the areas of our thoughts you are reviving. Open our eyes to see the fullness of your mercy and of your grace. Open our hearts to the fullness of your mercy and grace. And let us fall so in love with you that we want to tell the whole world, that we want to show the whole world mercy and grace. We love you, Holy Spirit. I want to read this scripture and then I'm done. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.